mission seminar this evening, and it's good to welcome particularly John Hobbs here. John, just tell us who you are, please.
Okay, I'm John Hobbs. I'm vicar of a couple of churches just on the edge of Upfield, 15 minutes north of Lewes. I've got a family, two children, one at almost four, one at 10 months. I've been there for a year, actually. In terms of what's relevant to the seminar, I was at Linfield before that for 4 years. And Linfield Church has got lots of families in it. So in this seminar, we're going to do a lot of sort of sharing of ideas. Pretty much everything I share are good practice that I picked up when I was in Linfield. But that's a big church. I think we were getting about 600 on Sunday. And now I'm in two very small churches, which currently really don't have many families at all, which is why we've gone there. And so I hope you'll feel this is relevant for you if you're in a small church as well. I mean, we've got 30.
There just doesn't seem to be the awareness of
wonderfully, when we were in Linfield, it was just a matter of course that if someone had a baby that was coming to a mums and toddlers group, someone would put together a rota and they'd have meals for the next 2 weeks. And a non-Christian family would be astounded at that, that someone would care in that way. But where we've gone to, it just wasn't in the mindset at all. So people do need some hand-holding, some practical thoughts on how they can really care for families. Some ideas on what might be done at different situations. Teaching our people to be looking out for opportunities where perhaps someone's child is ill, and how can the church come alongside and another family offer them, you know, come round for a meal and we're there for you, just to talk through that. Another family where we are, they've got granddad living with them, which is quite hard, he's got cancer. So how as a family can you start to support a family like that? How can you offer babysitting so mum and dad can just get out from this pressurised environment every now and again? Those things really matter to non-Christian families, and they're another way in which we can display those good deeds. So teach families general godliness, teach families practical care. Thirdly, I think on purity, teach families Christian parenting as well. My experience is that most parenting courses are aimed at non-Christians. We'll talk a bit about opportunities that gives later. But how important is Christians that we are teaching our families how to be Christian families? What does that mean for mum and dad and how they relate to each other and for their children? What does it mean for the children too? What are some of the biblical principles of parenting that they can start to adopt? We can't expect our families to be godly and different or mission-oriented. I mean, they are essentially to be little cells of the church, aren't they? Unless we're teaching them what it is to be a Christian family. I have to say, in terms of resources for this sort of thing, it's often good to look at America. They seem to be a bit further along in this. The Desiring God characters under John Piper, they have some good stuff on parenting, that kind of stuff. But in the UK, I've only just picked it up, but the Good Book Company have just brought out this parenting course called Putting Parenting to Bed. It is for to be done with non-Christians as well, but it's rare in the sense that it's just up front about the Bible throughout. And we'll talk about how wise it is to commend the biblical worldview in our evangelism by being unashamed about using the Bible in these courses. But you might want to have a look at that. It looks quite good to me. And so it might serve well for teaching the Christians too some biblical principles on parenting. It's called Putting Parenting to Bed. That wouldn't be very good parenting, would it? I'm off to bed now, kids. Sort yourselves out. Okay. So in terms of purity, teaching families general godliness, teaching families practical care, teaching families Christian parenting. Well, let's think a little bit about permeation, how we can be better alongside families. What were your thoughts here? What sort of things did you come up with? Just let's have them up as quickly as possible so that we could just glean ideas. As quickly as possible.
After school clubs,
yeah. So don't necessarily be Christian. If you're involved in them, you're getting alongside. Yes, good. Other things?
Parenting and toddler groups,
yeah. Other things?
Christian parents who go to the parent and toddler groups seeing it as their ministry rather than something that goes there.
Yeah, that's helpful actually. So we've got two ways you could do them. So you could set up your own parent and toddling group to draw alongside families. If you're a small church, you may feel you haven't even got the resources for that, but you can encourage your families to go to one that's set up locally and make contacts there as well. Other things?
Inviting families to meals if you've got enough room.
Yeah, yeah. Simple hospitality is great, isn't it? And you know what it's like when you're trying to make a meal for your own family, what a relief it is if you can actually have someone else that's relaxed with kids. And that's the important thing, isn't it, if you have a family around for a meal. Just be relaxed and not worrying when the kids are difficult. Other things?
There's an opportunity for baptism, going and talking to families.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a bit more in a minute. But yeah, there are great opportunities for drawing alongside through baptism prep and things. Any other things? Ideas?
One thing that's worthwhile in our church is where people just invite our families along. So the youth work, everybody's going there, immediately phones up another four families and says, come and join us.
Yeah.
And he's just created friendship groups.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine was in a church, they did a dads and lads camping weekend. And there's nothing to it other than the church organised it. A whole load of non-Christian families came and a whole load of Christian families went. And they're all spending this wonderful time relating to their kids and building relationships with each other. So social events are great for that. You know, family fun days where everyone can just come together and you can have a barbie and talk and get to know each other. Other things? Okay, well, look, let me give you some thoughts just that I picked up really from other churches on this whole idea of permeation and drawing alongside. I think the first question to put to us is when we think about reaching out to others, it's good to ask actually how they might already be reaching out to us in terms of this whole idea of getting alongside them. So in Anglican churches there are great opportunities around weddings and baptisms, even funerals and things like that. We'll think more about that when we get to a proclamation. But we could advertise, couldn't we? Advertise an evening, perhaps, for anyone that's interested in baptism to come centrally and hear something about it. We might find all sorts of families come. It's a great opportunity then for Anglicans to start just clarifying a bit about what it is and offering alternatives for those that can't really, with integrity, say those declarations. But it's a great time where people actually are already reaching out to us, and offering them an easy way into that means we can build those relationships. And if you do get people around for baptism prep, if you're a church that can do this, just give them a glass of wine and make it a nice evening for them. In Linfield, we always used to sort of have wine on tap. People were just so struck that the first half hour was just having a glass of wine and chatting. They got babysitters in. It just made them feel it's actually worthwhile to get those babysitters. They had a bit of a night out before going into the presentations and the gospel. So do think about how you can make it an enjoyable experience for people as well. And if you're in the free churches, I know Cookford have started offering Thanksgiving services to parents and things like that. There are ways you can still pick up on these opportunities and helping families in the area to think, well, might I go to that church for a Thanksgiving instead? And again, you've got a chance where people are looking to the church and you can draw alongside. I think the second thing to remember on permeation is the community and different links you can have with it. We've already mentioned some of those. Preschools and schools are a great opportunity. Being involved, your kids are in the preschool, then there's opportunities to get involved with it. Fundraising, being alongside families, PTA at schools. Offering services to schools, in Christian services yet. We'll talk about that later. But other things to help run a club. I know Mark Redhouse, who's around here somewhere, does football stuff for the school as well. It's all great opportunities, isn't it, for getting alongside and getting to know families. So, we mustn't forget with family mission to encourage our families just to make the most of their normal friendships. In that sense, family mission is like anything, isn't it? Just authentic friendships through which the gospel might be spoken or people invited to something. And again, we've mentioned some ways you can start to encourage that with social events where they can come and meet other Christians. Fourthly, it's worth thinking about developing what we might call bridge building ministries, offering a bridge from church life to the life of community, not yet necessarily thinking about a place to proclaim the gospel, but certainly a conduit to that, a way in to gospel opportunities. Where in Linfield, the idea was that all the different groups that were running, there were lots of them, the idea was that the leaders would be aware that the intention is that these are building friendships and those people will start to come towards an opportunity to hear the gospel. And of course, in bridge building groups, they can hear it just through those general friendships. So we might think of things like a mums and tots group. These can be very low maintenance. The mums are there looking after the kids, so all you really need is a space, a CD player and some good CDs and a bunch of toys, and you're away. We've been able to do that. Well, when I arrived, it was a church of 15 with one family in it, and that one family had already started a mums and tots group in the village hall. So actually, you can do it that easily. So do think about a mums and tots group if there isn't one in your area. It's a great way to link with families. I mean, just getting on an evening where there's going to be some crafts and things like that, mums, if you're a bit crafty, it tends to attract the women rather than the men, but a craft evening as well. Mums love a time out. If they're weighed down with children, for you to offer some kind of a social event like that, they will come. We found actually in Linfield that you would be able to put on a talk within that about the gospel and people would still come. They just love coming together with other mums to have a glass of wine and a nice enjoyable evening. And in terms of mums and tots groups, think about dads and tots groups as well. I hear great things about, say, a monthly Saturday morning, dads with their toddlers. Mum's had them all week, she's desperate to get children out at the weekend, have a bit of a break. Dad wants time with the kids because he's been at work all week. So in the church hall, croissants, newspapers, good coffee, some games to play. Dads come in, they have a couple of hours there with their kids, relating to one another as well. And you're building good relationships with those men that it's so hard to get alongside. I'd love to do something like that, I've never done it, but I hear it works very well, so why not think about that? We've mentioned parent courses as well. A number of churches run parenting courses that are pretty secular really, but they are still a good chance to get alongside people. My wife ran one of these in Linfield, and she says that the wonderful thing about them is that the mums basically, and it was all in daytime, so it was all mums, they learn to talk in a group. They're all interested in their kids, they're happy about talking to them. And then at the end of this, they had one session on the spiritual life of your child, which raised a few Christian things. And then Bethan said, look, why don't we all just carry on meeting and do Christianity Explored? And all eight of the mums did that, because they've got such good relationships in the parenting course. They all came into Christianity Explored at the same time, with a creche. And all of them, I think, actually came to faith at the end of that. So it's a very easy way in, because it gets people used to the environment. But if you do something like that in the daytime, you do need to provide a creche for mums. It's very difficult to think about anything without that. And look to some grandparents, perhaps, in the church to do that. Our kids loved the more elderly folk in the creche who were sort of surrogate grandparents to them. And if you do it in the evening, think about whether you might as a church provide babysitters so mum and dad can come together. Obviously that's preferable with parenting. Anything with a creche, my wife has stressed to me again, it's here in my notes for you. But also even things like, there's a church offering debt advice or marriage counselling. You're going to find that picking up families, because they're struggling with these things. So there's all sorts of areas that we can draw alongside other families. What about the area of proclamation, though? This is the all-important area, isn't it, ultimately? What sort of ideas did you have as you spoke about that? How can we better make and take opportunities to proclaim the gospel to families? In your own time?
You can't hear everything we talked about.
Oh, have I? Oh, I've got lots more things here.
Yeah.
Makes opportunities, okay. Okay. Did you get anyone come up with anything else? Making the most Christmas Easter harvest.
Yeah, fantastic.
And you don't have to be an Anglican to make the most of those. These things are in the public mindset. They're just great ways in. People love to... perhaps that's the wrong way of putting it. People will come, won't they, at these festivals. Some from good motives, some from bad, but they're there anyway, and it's a good way of getting alongside. Any other things?
Being honest about being Christian, really. So when you have families around for meals, saying grace, because for your own children, that's what you would normally do all the time. So when you have guests, maybe saying grace with them. It's easy with children at certain schools, because they may be already saying grace at school at their lunchtime. So that's helped.
Yeah, those are little things, aren't they? Perhaps that's part of teaching that your family... I think it's worth teaching families even to do that in terms of what we were speaking about earlier. And it's very easy to say, isn't it? I hope you don't mind, we all say grace in this house, so I'm just going to say a quick prayer before we eat, and it just makes people think, yeah. Any other things?
I think there's some very relevant literature that one could use, mm-hmm. very teachable, actually, in a particular situation. It might be more appropriate than giving them a
DVD type of presentation. I mean, all sorts of. Yeah, yeah, I think so. The usual evangelistic resources you can pass out to people. Yeah, okay. Any more ideas?
The thing over about the US church, so when, it's great, you can see there are some tax in there and so on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Great. So these are all relational things. Very helpful. What about things that churches can put on that might give opportunities to proclaim the gospel and speak the gospel to families?
Last night I was a new concept.
Okay.
We do have people constantly coming to our church.
Yes.
We had about 30 people last night. I think it was about 5 young couples. Yeah. They were older people as well and singles. It's just an opportunity for building relationships. A few people there were already Christians. Some
coming to church occasionally, and one or two were there just through baptism and things like that. They come together and they build a relationship there. And at the end, just at the 5 minutes slot, back to the Lord. And if you'd like to come and yes. Find out. Very helpful. We can't assume, particularly in Anglican churches, I think people coming to us aren't necessarily Christians. And again, in Linfield, we would always invite those who come through baptism to our welcome supper. And they come and there's opportunities there. Yeah, any other things?
Certainly, it's things like family, small family, young family oriented services, maybe followed by a lunch at some of the family suggests what things like pounds where everybody's going out to
yeah.
bring something towards it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get to know people through that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're Scones Hill, aren't you? No, are you Scones Hill? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I was actually thinking of another church was about to ask about something you did, but it wasn't you. Same hill. Very confusing. But thank you. Any other things?
Linking in with children's activities, ensuring there is opportunity to share what's been told for the children's
yeah.
parents.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Yeah. So you're doing a youth work, and you invite the parents along. This is a youth work with kids, perhaps from unchurched families. Come and hear a little bit about what we've been doing with your kids. They want to know, don't they? And that's another opportunity both to build friendships and to teach them something. Let me give you some ideas just that I've picked up along the way. I think there's numerous opportunities. I think the first thing is we still need to do that general work of equipping our people to actually just be able to share the gospel. There's a lack of confidence, isn't there, in many, and it's not any particular age, it's across the board. So we need to train our families, as we do everyone else, in how to informally share the gospel. How to be alongside people where they might be in a mums and tots group or at school or something like that, at the gate. How might they give a reason for the hope that they have? Second, I think it's worth thinking about those gospel opportunities in the community. We started, since we've been in Maresfield, we offered services to the preschool, which they love because they've got to tick a box to say they've had community involvement. So they can do that by having a service, and we get a chance to speak the gospel to the parents of the preschool, which is not a Christian preschool. So if you've got a preschool in your area, why not just go to them and say, look, Harvest, Christmas, Easter, would you like us to put on a service? Just so you get an idea, all we do is we have it half an hour for it. Beth and I run it, basically. We get someone to play the piano. We sing some very easy kind of kids' songs, like All Things Bright and Beautiful or Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star at Christmas when you talk about the shepherds. And it's straightforward, a song, a short reading from scripture, a sort of interactive talk that somehow relates to the kids, but really is pitched at the parents. Another song, some short prayers, another song, and close. Half an hour followed by mince pies at Christmas, hot cross buns at Easter, I don't know, wheat at harvest, whatever you want to eat. But it's just a great way, both to get alongside and to speak something to them. And at each of those services, we then invite people to Christianity Explored. They go away with invitations. And it's just a way into that. Again, if you've got a toddler group there, you might offer it to those people. We've started to sort of now bring a toddler group into that preschool service, but just have a few more numbers, and there's great opportunity there. Don't forget, in terms of family mission, that you can bypass the parents to the children. They're part of the family too. So this whole topic brings in the area of youth work, though we don't have time to think about that specifically. But do think about youth work, both with Christian kids, but also a youth club in your area. Again, it doesn't need a huge amount of resources. We're starting one up this term. We've got three people starting it up. All they've done is they've booked the church hall. They've advertised. We've advertised it at the school. Some of the mums in the area are going to come in every now and again to help. We've got some fun things for them to play with. And I don't know how it's going to work. It starts on Monday. But we seem to have a good lot of interest. And within that, there's just going to be 5 or 10 minutes, a thought each time, with something of the Christian message. And it's all going to be for unchurch kids, because we don't really have any church kids in the village, apart from one or two families. So it doesn't take a huge amount of resource, but you can do something. And if you're in an area where there's nothing really on for kids, parents would be delighted that you're doing something, and the kids will probably come. Assemblies as well, of course, if you can get offer something to the school. A lot of schools are delighted to have Christians coming and taking assemblies. It's another thing for the teachers not to worry about. If you do that, do think about a curriculum, so you're taking them on over a number of years. Maybe after 4 years you repeat it, and you're consistently then teaching them. And again, a 10-minute slot each time, you can do a lot. We've just done a Bible overview using one of the Good Book Company resources, The King, the Snake and the Promise. They've got another CD which will cover two terms every other week, going through the Gospel of Mark. So there's a lot of things out there to help you, and Good Book Company is really my first stop usually on these things. And they'll give you resources, and you can be in there 10 minutes at a time, not a huge amount of prep, but you're consistently teaching a Christian worldview to these kids. If they're not converted to it, they're gaining a framework perhaps for faith later in life. Thirdly, develop truly child-relevant services that families will like to come to. Let's spend a bit of time on that. I have been in services, and been guilty of services, where the only child-friendly thing is actually the talk. And even that is debatable sometimes. It's worth putting the effort in to think about how a service can be truly child-friendly. So, for example, if you can use a PowerPoint, it's brilliant because mums and dads are going to be holding their kids, aren't they? So it's difficult to hold a Bible, a sheet of paper and a songbook as well. But if you have a PowerPoint, they can hold on to their kids and they can see it all. They don't need their arms for anything but children. If you have a PowerPoint, why not put a few balloons in the background of the text there? And it just gives it a feel that's sort of child-based. And then in terms of how you lead the service, mention children and involve them sort of interactively as you go through it. Have some children or some teenagers leading the prayers, so that's more intriguing to the kids as well. Another one of them reading the Bible reading. To try and think about how can this be child-friendly. Doesn't mean it's just got to be fun. A lot of the time, kids will be engaged just because there's something creative that's interactive or a question that comes across to them. It's not sort of entertainment is the only thing that works with kids. But child-friendliness is key. And then have some refreshments afterwards. Maybe have a craft table in the corner. So the kids can go and do that as the mums and dads talk. And they'll want to come back. The kids have enjoyed the service. They've had their craft. They've run around. And the parents have interacted with each other. So try and develop services that are truly child-friendly. We find them a huge way in. A monthly all-age service, I think, is wonderful because parents know when it is. And it becomes, for them, perhaps the only time they'll come to church to start with. But they know when it is. The kids look forward to it. And they come along. We've started one up at...
Yes? Do a special
title. You could do. I don't think it matters that much if it's one...
First Sunday of the month is Wake Up, Shake Up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it conveys something which is...
Why not? Yeah.
Don't call it an all-age.
Yeah.
May not necessarily...
No, that's helpful. And as we're saying, then it's another thing, isn't it, that relates to the kids as part of it. But think about your timing as well. We started one up at 4 o'clock because... Well, partly because we've got two churches, so we couldn't do them both in the morning, but... 4 o'clock actually relates to some families, particularly with those who've got kids doing sports on Sunday mornings. Maybe it would be on another day other than Sunday. But all ages are a great way in. And if you're an Anglican church doing baptisms, and you're getting these parents to declare they're going to be part of the church and raise their kids in the faith, then you can say to them, look, this is particularly for you, and at the very least we want to see you at this service so that you and your kids are growing in the faith. And if your other services are pretty inaccessible to families, you can't really expect the families to come to you unless you've got something provided by which they can do that. If you're doing services, schools have book bags most weeks. Things go out to all the parents. Why not ask the school if you can put something in there the week before your all-age service? If you've got church schools, that could be brilliant. We advertise Christianity Explored and All Ages in our book bags, so every parent gets an invitation whenever we do something like that. We don't even have to put them in. Parents or the secretary at the school does it. We just provide them with the invites. Fourthly, commend the Christian worldview. Is another means of proclaiming. I put a bit of a paper about this. For things like parenting courses or marriage prep, please don't be ashamed about the Christian worldview. I'm absolutely convinced that the way God's truth is to work is that it's not just the central gospel, but the whole Christian worldview commends the truth of the gospel to people. So as we talk about parenting from Scripture, our non-Christian parents are thinking, gosh, that book really does apply. This Christianity really does make a difference. And no one but God gets the glory. If we use a secular course and people think, wow, this is wonderful stuff, it gets people looking away from the Lord for that wisdom. But to do a Christian one, sensitive, yes, commends the Christian worldview and commends according to the gospel. Fifthly, I've mentioned make the most of baptisms and weddings. I think my only tip on that is, if you have that initial call, don't do too much business on the telephone with the family, because it's a missed opportunity. Just take the bare details and say, someone will come to you and meet with you to talk about the way forward. And then you've got a chat time to chat over a cup of coffee, talk with them about what their needs are, explain perhaps it might be inappropriate for baptism for them, and you need to offer something else. If you do it on the phone, it's impersonal, people misunderstand you, they're offended that you can't offer them this, that or the other. Far better just to say nothing about that, just say, let me come and talk to you. And then you've got that relationship and a chance to explain the gospel there. Sixthly, just to think about how you can feed all this interest from the various different groups into something like Christianity Explored or Simply Christianity. Simply Christianity I found very helpful because it's only 5 weeks long. It's gospel-based, working through Luke. You can get it from the Good Book Company, but it's shorter. Helpful with families. Again, the issue of crash babysitters is helpful too. Well, there's lots there, isn't there? I've rushed through it because I've got my eye on the time. Very quickly, are there any key questions before we close? You've got some principles. I hope you've got lots of ideas that you can work with. I guess for you, the next stage is finding some other people in the church to talk and pray about how you might adopt some of these. Are there any key questions?
I was wondering what you're planning to do over your next year, year and a half or so, as you come to the church, doesn't have any children.
Yeah. Well, we came a year ago, and what we did initially was we got two churches. One of them had this toddler group, so we focused on that, building relationships in that. We made a big thing about moving from alternate all ages between the two churches to in both churches every month, because people never knew when they were. So one of them's at 4, one's at 11:15, and we've only just started that, so I guess in the next year we're developing that. We're trying to get it to be part of the bloodstream of the villages, get it known, encourage people through advertising to come into that. We're starting up a youth club, so that's another thing which is starting this month, so it's going to be developing that youth club through the year. So just developing the things we've put in place. But we haven't had to use huge resources. I have got a ministry trainee, which has made a big difference. But we haven't had to use huge resources to get some things in. And then it's a matter of building the relationship, spending lots of time alongside Family Fun Day we're hoping to do in the summer. Just putting these principles into practice, really. So good contacts, dropping in the gospel, sowing that seed, praying that the Lord would water it and being patient, I think. It's, in that sense, in the end, it's quite simple, isn't it? It's just the ideas and things, yeah. We can talk more about that afterwards if you want. Other questions? None at all.
Can I make an announcement about getting a lunch quickly?
Can you wait just a minute for that? Brilliant. Any other questions or any comments on this whole area that you think something we've really missed that you're burning to say?
Just one thing.
Yeah. One thing I meant to say at the beginning actually is it's such a huge topic because actually family, mission to families includes thinking about the whole issue of men's work and youth work and children's work. You can't deal with it all. But yeah, guys, just social events with men and inviting men along is a good way in with that. If you haven't ever heard of Discovery Ministries, look them up on the internet. It's a great way in for doing some dangerous sport days with a gospel presentation in it. Christian Viewpoint for Men will give you lots of ideas. Yeah.
Can I mention the timing?
Yeah.
We have a church class and they tried 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it didn't work. So they now have gone back to 10:30.
Yeah.
In the parish church, we now have 9:30 and we find that works really well for families because children are early, they want to get out, they come to church, then they've got the rest of the day to visit grandmothers and etc. And 9:30 we find very successful.
Now that's very interesting because I found 9:30 good for Christian families, but non-Christian families were just so in the mindset of not getting everything ready by then, we found later on. So that's very interesting. I think you just need to know your people, don't you? I think the only thing I'd say at the end is do try and think about formulating a strategy. I mean, I think in a very basic sense, what we've tried to do is we've spent this first year trying to establish structures so that where there is interest, people are fed into something that's gospel-based. And to develop those links and relationships, initial sense, and then as the years go by, to then build on that. But I think initially it's just getting those structures so there's something for people where you have contacts to come into. And as we've heard this morning already, they don't have to be big things, they can just be little groups, and building those relationships. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we recognise the high calling of being families that live to your glory and praise, that display such good lives in the world amongst parents, children, that it means opportunities for the gospel and ultimately glory to you on the day you visit. We've heard so much. We pray simply now at the end that you would give us the time and space to reflect on these things, to formulate plans, and with faith and prayer to start to put those into practice. And we pray in our country that you would be saving whole families and mending the brokenness that we're so aware of in a way that gives you such praise because of the power of the gospel. And we pray this for the sake of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Good. Over to you for announcements.
Okay. In the